This is Rick Gentry, and I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm excited to introduce to you today Pastor Richard Adarosa, and he's from Florida. We're excited about his message today. Here's Pastor Richard.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Pastor Richard Adarosa from Church of the Harvest in Pahokee, Florida, along the beautiful Lake Okeechobee. We're happy to come to you with a message today entitled The Fruit of Continuing. So let's pray and then get started. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that your word is life to those who find it. It's health and healing to all of our flesh, Father. And we thank you that as the word of God is being shared today, that the power of the Lord is present to bring healing in every area of our life. We give you thanks and we give you glory. All honor is yours, Father. Come soon, quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. So we're going to be talking today about the fruit of continuing, and I want to share with you some scriptures concerning the importance of continuing in our walk with the Lord. Now, obviously, we are not going to discuss about once saved, always saved. We're not going to be talking about that. But we're going to be talking about the importance of what we start that we continue. So we're going to begin in the book of Genesis, and Genesis chapter 26. I just wanted to point out a couple of scriptures here talking about Isaac, and just to see how continuous God is. God is a continuous God. He's not always changing his mind. He's not changing the way he does things. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's continued from time past to time present and time beyond. He's always going to be the same, and he has always continued in that place. He's still our Father, and so we are so thankful for him. So if you found Genesis chapter 26, verse 12, and I'm reading from the New King James, the Bible says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him, because God is a God of seed time and harvest." And it says, "The man," referring to Isaac, "began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous." So as long as we continue in the things of God, the blessings of God will continue in our lives as well. And it says he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Isn't it interesting today that people think that God just wants them to be, take their place on just getting by street, when the truth of the matter is God wants his blessings flowing in our lives so that the people of the world can become jealous of us and have a desire to understand what's the source of the blessings in your life. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody says, "Gee, all the time, every year I get the flu, but I noticed you've never gotten the flu"? Well, you can be in that particular category if you choose to believe the word of God, because he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, and with his stripes were healed, according to Isaiah 53. And in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17, Jesus made it very clear that these infirmities that he took were sickness and disease. And then again, Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 also bear witness to that fact that we are healed. And so the Philistines stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, and they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you're much mightier than I." You know, the devil always will try to do things to get you off the word. The devil doesn't care about you personally, but the devil does know that if you get an idea and you get with the word and begin to operate in the word and follow the Spirit of God, that you're going to go to a place that he doesn't want you to go, because it gives glory to God. You know, he'll always try to upset you in some way, and he works through our mind and our emotions and by the circumstances that he brings in our lives. But we can see here that the Philistines were very jealous, and they would have liked for him to move. And so what they did is they started coming against everything. But I hope you all know that when the pressing of the Lord maketh rich, he adds no sorrow with it. And irrespective of how the people are acting around you, if you continue to do the word, you're going to continue to receive the benefits of the word. In other words, if you continue to sow, you're going to reap. No matter where you are, And as long as you're following the plans and purposes of God and put yourself in His will, you will always have enough. In fact, you'll always have more than enough. Part of the curse was poverty, but thank God Jesus became poor that we might be made rich. Just like He took stripes for our healing, and just like He made atonement for our sins. And so that's one of the scriptures there. So understand that the law of sowing and reaping is the sower continues to sow. The harvest continues to come. That word continue there. All right, look at Joshua chapter 6. Now we're going to be talking about the walls of Jericho. I know you all are familiar with that story, but we're going to look at it in a little more depth. And we're here to be able to share with you some of the basic principles of God's Word. And we're talking today about the fruit of continuing. Now, in the book of Joshua, chapter 6, it talks about, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. So they had this whole thing locked up. Now, if you study the walls, there was a lower wall that was in the bottom, and there was a good expanse of earth, and then this hill that kind of came up, and then there was another wall around it. And the idea was, even if you got over the first wall, you weren't going to get over the second wall. And because they were on top and looking down, it also gave them a tremendous advantage against their enemies. So in the natural, taking this city, no matter how many people you had, you were at a significant disadvantage. And sometimes in life, it seems as though we're at a significant disadvantage in the things that we're trying to receive or the things that we're trying to do. But God has a way of getting us from a place of disadvantage to a place of tremendous advantage. He has a way of taking us from what appears to be a curse and bring us to what appears and is known to be a blessing. God had given them the promised land, and despite how hilly it was, despite how many walls there were, God was going to get the work done. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor." So they were given possession there, not just of a few things, but of the whole city. And he said, "You'll march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you'll do for 6 days." So they had the word of the Lord. Now, we have to understand that if we're going to get God's result, we need to follow God's plan. And we have to have His word in our heart and our word and His word in our mouth. It's important to understand you cannot speak defeat and expect victory. You can't speak sickness and expect healing. You can't speak poverty and expect wealth. You've got to speak the word of God. You've got to take the word that God gives you, which is found in His word, and take that word and put it in your heart and in your mouth. Joshua already knew this. He knew this from Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, where God said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have success." Listen, God wants you to have success. And so we see here that there is definitely fruit in continuing in the plans and purposes of God. And I might say it this way. There is fruit in continuing in the Word. There is fruit in continuing in the Word. I'm going to say it a third time. There is fruit born by continuing in the Word. Verse 6, Joshua chapter 6. It says, "Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of rams, horns before the ark of the Lord.' He said, 'And to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let whom who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord.' So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them." Now this went on for 6 days. Did you ever get in a situation where you feel like you tried the word and it didn't work the first time? God didn't tell him to go around the wall one time and God would bring the walls down. God didn't even tell him what he was going to do specifically and how he was going to get the job done. We want to just try it one time, and if it doesn't work, we're going to figure out why God didn't do it or why God perhaps might do it a different way. But all we're required to do is believe his word and act upon it. Sometimes we goof things up because we try to help God be God, but God doesn't need your help to be God because he is I am. You are not I am. You have I am, the greater one, living in you. And so, in verse 16, it says this, "And the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city.'" And so they did that. Now, in verse 20, "So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Now, we think that we can make our own plan, but God's plan is his word. And his word, as I said before, has to be in your heart and in your mouth. And if you will do what God said, and if you will continue in his word, you will see his plan manifest. So, let's go look now at the book of John. John chapter 8 and verse 31. John chapter 8 and verse 31. And of course, you'll be very familiar with this scripture. You may not know where it is, but you know of it. John chapter 8 and verse 31. And it says here in verse, let's actually begin for some context here in verse 27. John chapter 8, verse 27. "They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to him," or to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things." And see, that's the way we have to be. We have to get accustomed to speaking our Father's word. Now, it doesn't mean you go around speaking in King James to everybody, but it means what you're going to do, and we taught on this in the past, that what you have to do is proclaim the truth and not agree with the lie. And so it says here in verse 27, "They did not understand that he spoke of them of the Father." He said in verse 28, again, I'm reading it again, "Then Jesus said to them, 'When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me.'" And I'm going to stop here and say that he who has sent you is with you. "And the Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." And see, that's the kind of relationship we want to have with the Father. We want to always do those things that please him. What do you please him with? How do you please him? That without faith, as you remember, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. So the way you're going to please God is by faith, by trusting in his word, by taking him at his word, believing it's true, and acting upon it. And verse 30 says this, "And as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him," you see, because there are a lot of people that believe the words of Jesus, "and he said, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" Now, if you've got a King James version you're following, he says, "If you continue in my word." If you continue in my word. And so, continuing in the word of God is key. Continuing in the word of God is paramount. Continuing in the word of God is the purpose and the process by which we can walk and mature and see the things of God come to pass. And listen, God is glorified when his word is manifest. God is glorified when his love is manifest. God is glorified when the Spirit of God is manifest. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." How do we lift up Jesus? We lift up his name. We are obedient. We're his disciples. And being a disciple, a follower of Jesus, one who is following the customs and teachings of his master, is the one who is continuing in the Word of God. Our master is not our job. Our master is not our spouse. Our master is not somebody that likes to tell us what to do. Our master is certainly not the devil and certainly not this world system. Our master is not our flesh, but our master is the Lord Jesus, the other comforter that he's given us, the precious Holy Spirit who abides on the inside, who is the friend that walks closer than a brother, is here in us, with us. He comes alongside us. He is anointed upon us. And he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now let me show you something else about the importance of continuing. I'd like you to turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. And we're going to see some things here. Acts chapter 2 verses. We're going to look at verses 41 through 43. Acts chapter 2. We're talking about the fruit of continuing. We saw that as Isaac continued to sow, God brought a harvest continually. We saw in the book of Joshua, as Joshua obeyed the command of God and marched six times, and on the seventh time, with a great shout, they saw the walls come down. We saw Jesus saying the importance of continuing in his word and abiding in his word. Why? So that we might truly be his disciples and walk in his footsteps. And so now, Jesus has gone and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And what we see in the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 41 is this. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized that day. About 3,000 souls were added to them. So, you know, of course, this is the time when Peter has preached and a tremendous number of people get saved. And listen to verse 42. And they continued, there's that word continued, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So let me say it this way. They continued steadfastly in the word. They continued steadfastly in fellowship. They continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread or eating together or perhaps even communion. And they continued steadfastly in prayers. It wasn't, I got saved, I prayed once, that's it. I'm going to just live my life the way I always did. No, that's not what happens. As a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 through verse 21. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. This new creature is a creature designed to continue in the word, to continue in fellowship, to continue in prayer, and continue in these things of God. And so we see here how the nature of the believer, the spirit man, the real you, the one who's on the inside of you, that you're a new creature and your heart's desire truly is to continue. The problem is we have to deal with an unrenewed mind. We're dealing with flesh that just kind of wants to do its own thing. And so what we have to do is get the flesh and get the soul under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And that takes discipline. And that's why it's so important that we have to continue. A person who starts a diet and does it for a week and stop, the weight comes back. Why? Because they didn't continue in it. Continuance is a word that represents a lifestyle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I want you to turn down to the book of Acts, chapter 19. You're already there. Just move down the street here a little bit. Acts chapter 19. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 19. And we're going to look at verse 9. Now we know that Paul, when he went to Ephesus, that he started out teaching and ministering the things of God in a synagogue. But That didn't last too long because a lot of the Jews, the religious leaders, were making it difficult for him to continue. So he decided to go to the school of Tyrannus. Now, back in these times, many of the Jewish people, the more wealthy, would have their own buildings or auditoriums that were dedicated for people to come and do teachings. Many times they could be well-known philosophers that would come into town and they would spend time with people there teaching them their different principles and things. And so Paul is now taking this school of Tyrannus, this building, and what he's doing is he's taken the word of God out of the Jewish synagogue and he's brought the word of God into a building where people can hear it who are interested in hearing the word. Because sometimes, as you know, in a lot of churches, the people wouldn't recognize the move of the Holy Spirit if he came in with lights and buzzers and all sorts of things, because they're not open to receive the things of the Spirit. But the people who were would come here. So now we pick up in verse 9. But when some were hardened and did not believe but spoke evil of the way, did you know we're called the way, the Christians, the way? Why are we the way? Because we're the way. Because Jesus is the way. Because Jesus is the truth. Because Jesus is the light. And it says, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily at the school of Tyrannus. So God brought him to this particular school, and the people, the disciples, the ones who were continuing with him, went to the same place. Verse 10, very important. We're going to see that word again. And this continued. What did it do? Start, stop? No, it continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now listen to me for a minute. What if when Paul got kicked out of the temple and people started giving him a hard time? What if Paul, when his circumstances didn't change or people didn't act the way he would have liked, had left Ephesus and gone somewhere else? Well, that would have been a tragedy, because we know that God worked in the city of Ephesus. It had one of the largest churches at that time. God wrote 2 letters to Timothy, who was the pastor of the church of Ephesus. They say that John the Apostle, the one whom God loved, was the one that was his home church. They say Mary, the mother of Jesus, that was her home church. So it's important to understand that you've got to continue. You can't give up. You can't try it one day and lay it down the next. It's not a matter of just trying to do it. It's a matter of being dedicated to do it. I like what Brother Hagin used to say. When I say something to somebody and they say, okay, I'm going to try it, he would say, well, don't try it, just do it. Because when you say you're going to try something, that's what you've confessed you're going to do. Stop saying, well, I'm going to try the word and see if my healing comes. No, dedicate yourself and continue in that word until the manifestation takes place. You'll get to that place in your faith where if it doesn't happen for 100 years, you'll still be believing God. You remember Abraham in the book of Romans, I believe it's chapter 4, it says that he considered not his own body, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. What did he do? He got to that place where he believed the word over his current circumstances. You say, well, I don't know if I can get there. You can get there, but you're going to have to continue in the word. You're going to have to continue. Some of you go to churches and you hop from church to church to church to church. And you wonder why you never grow. It's because you're supposed to continue in that place that God sent you. Well, I think God might be leading me to somewhere else. Listen, don't leave a church just because you've got itching ears, or if you've heard something else somewhere else you think you might be more enjoyable to you. You're not going to church for enjoyment. You're going to be taught the word of God. You're going to be in fellowship with other believers. There's going to be some situations you're not going to like. There's going to be some people that rub you the wrong way. But guess what? When you are called to that church, you bring your anointing to that church. And when all the anointing of the various members come together, it creates a strong corporate anointing. And it makes a big change in the realm of the spirit in that particular city or the world or wherever that church is called to minister. Amen. So we see here in Acts chapter 19, verses 9 through 11, that they continued. And they continued steadfastly. When you are steadfast on something, it means you set your sights on it and you're not giving up. You're going to keep your eye on the prize, as Paul would say. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Just move ahead a little bit. You got to get past Ephesians and Philippians. So you can get Colossians chapter 4. And we're going to begin in verse 1. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Talking about employers. He says in verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Now, I don't know what it is, but we'll have people come to church, and when we talk about prayer, come to prayer on such and such a night, we get a lot less people. And why is that? Well, I don't really know how to pray. Well, you know, I get bored when we go to prayer. I just don't know what to pray for. Listen, if you're a child of God and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, those words should never come out of your lips. If you can't do anything else but agree with what somebody else is praying or praying in the Spirit, then you're doing something positive. And listen, a lot of people have said that prayer is not necessarily taught. I mean, that's not saying you can't teach on prayer, but I'm talking about praying and getting into prayer and having the desire. You can catch that spirit of prayer. And that's why it's important for you to go. If you're not a prayer warrior, you need to go and become involved in prayer. When you start, you may not feel comfortable. You may feel a little bit out of place. But I guarantee you that if you continue in that, there's that word continue again, then you're going to come to that place where you're going to want to go to prayer. When you start seeing the answers to prayer, you're going to want to come to prayer. Listen, joy comes from answered prayer, you know. You want a little joy in your life? Spend a little more time praying. Look at James chapter 1 and verse 25. Let's get past Ephesians and let's look at James. Oh, we're running out of time. James chapter 1, let's begin in verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, here's what we're homing in. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. There's that word continue. You can't be a Christian and be effective in being discipled and walking out the plans and purposes of God if you're an upstart and stop start. You have to be continuous in your work for the Lord. Well, how am I going to do that? Maybe you're in that place right now and you're saying, you know, I just seemed like I have a hard time making that. Listen, make a decision of your will. Declare before the world and the devil that you're going to come to church every Sunday. When those church doors are open, you're going to be there. You're going to get up a little early in the morning or you're going to stay up a little later at night and you're going to spend time in the Word and then you're going to trust God and God is going to cause that growth to take place in your life. That's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want His Christians that are 30 years old in the Lord walking around in diapers. He wants us to be mature about the things of God so that we can have an impact on the world. The world needs to see something different. Believer, you can't live like the world and expect the blessings of God to just fall on you like cherries off a tree. You have to not only be a hearer, but you have to be a doer. Well, I hope this radio program today has been a blessing to you, and I'd sure like to hear from somebody. We've been doing this for a while now, and we haven't heard anybody write to us or phone us on anything concerning the ministry here, but we would love to be able to hear from you, talk to us. Your prayers, your encouragement are coveted. And so, Father, I thank you for every person that's listened to this radio message today. Father, we thank you for the Gentries. We thank you for BPN Radio. We thank you for those that are preaching the word today. And Lord, we declare the blessings of God over your people. We declare that they are not only hearers of the word, but doers. And so they are blessed in their deed. In Jesus' name, see you next week.